glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's there.
Reading from Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? That's Psalm 8, verses 3 through 4. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 28th, 2023. Today's topic continues with Who Am I? And another great question to ponder as we discover who we are is whose we are. And this verse tells us we're important. We're part of the family of God, and he's designed us, he's created us. And today we'll identify with biblical characters that may, in fact, be a little closer to home than we may at times realize. Some of the things they struggled with or worked through, or as Pastor Jason Schiffel facilitates our discussion, will help us understand that many of these were put in there so we can understand God better and know the same struggles that they had, we had. So today, who am I?
And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried him, and he fell on the ground and swallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came about him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou castest do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible, and to him that believeth.
And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
What a great passage of scripture, because we're asking that question yet again, who am I? And when we say that, we're looking at the cast of characters that Jesus encounters as he's doing ministry. And we're looking at these people as real live people. This is a real live encounter that Jesus has. But at the same time, these people are a lot like the people that we encounter, or even a lot like us. And so, as is our practice, let's walk through it and let's see where we find ourselves. It said they returned to the other disciples and they saw a large crowd surrounding them. Some teachers of the religious law were arguing with them. First of all, what do you think about that? It says some teachers of the religious law were arguing with them.
Well, they must have had some questions.
Yep, they might have had some questions. Yeah. What else?
They weren't afraid.
They weren't afraid? Okay. Yep. What else? You know what I find interesting is when I read this passage, this specific sentence in verse 14, and then began to look at the whole of the Gospels, I found that the teachers of the religious law, as we go through the Gospels, tend to be very argumentative. Hmm. They tend to be known for arguing. And I wondered if those of us who follow Jesus are known more for our arguing than we are for our healing or for our peacemaking. Jesus is the one who said, blessed are the peacemakers. He doesn't say, blessed are those who are argumentative. Blessed are those who cause division and trouble. He said, blessed are those who bring a peace to places where there is division. And so right away, right out the gate, I read this and I go, wow, the religious leaders are known for being argumentative. And listen, where things are wrong, we certainly should point out where they're wrong. But maybe the pathway towards correction is not argument, but instead, what does Paul tell Timothy? To correct with gentle correction and patience. You know what I love about having Elmer in the room is before I even ever say something, Elmer is already saying it. I look over and he's going, mouthing it to me, gentle correction. I love that.
I was also thinking that when you look at Elmer, you see a man of peace, a man that's cognizant of others and sensitive, and that's a strength or a gift that you have, Elmer.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And so Jesus, it's interesting, the crowd sees Jesus and they're overwhelmed with awe and they run to greet him. And so already when I read this, I go, okay, are we, when we're trying to find ourselves in the story, do we tend to be argumentative? Do we tend to encounter situations with arguments? You know, we're abrasive. We don't create peace. We don't try and have empathy, but instead, we always just run to argument. We always want to be the corrector or the person who... And listen, sometimes I do that. Sometimes my wife says, she says, we don't need an apologist in this moment. You know, sometimes what we need is just a listening ear. And so I love this, first of all, because Jesus' question that he's going to immediately respond to is he's going to say, what is all this arguing about? Because it's not getting him anywhere, I guess. That's what I really think. The voice of Jesus goes, listen, a lot of argument going on here, but not a lot of anything else.
I was thinking that's kind of that male trait. We want to argue and wrestle and give advice, and many of our spouses would say, I don't want your advice. I don't want the correction. I don't want the information. I just want compassion or an empathetic ear. But yeah, we like them. We want to give our opinion. We want to voice where we stand on something. Mm-hmm.
And is it that the crowd is overwhelmed with awe when they see Jesus, not just because he's God, not just because he's an esteemed teacher at this point? You know, we get to Mark chapter 9. He's known around the countryside as being an esteemed teacher. But are they in awe because Jesus is going to handle this differently? Jesus always seems to handle situations differently. In fact, one of the great struggles that I know that we all seem to have, and maybe you guys can chime in on this, is that our way and Jesus' way sometimes seem so different. You guys ever have that problem?
Yes, sir.
Any examples you want to share?
Well, I don't know about examples, but I know when we answer some problem, we want to let them know everything I know about it and refer to ourselves as doing it. Mm-hmm. And one thing about Jesus was God.
Yeah.
And God knows all, what will happen, what did happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, that's why we get such a wonderful answer from Jesus, that what he says is always right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we still, sometimes we do still have this, like, competition for my way versus God's way.
Absolutely.
You know, and sometimes I think we're like running to God and going, I got a great idea. And God's going, I'll listen, but, you know, it's just going to be trouble. And we have enough history to know that your way doesn't always work.
Right.
I'll be very frank. You know, I think that I can win the day at my house by winning the argument with my wife. And it never works. But I still think that way works. But you know what does work? Is that when we're having an altercation and we pray. When we're having an altercation, we allow the voice of Jesus, the voice of peace, to enter into the conversation. Things change. It doesn't mean that magically the situation reconciles itself. But suddenly the argument, suddenly the division, suddenly the antagonism is drained out of the room because the voice of Jesus comes to the forefront.
Sort of like Jesus saying, it's my way or the highway.
That's right. That's right. And the highway is narrow.
Absolutely.
One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. A couple of things here that I think are really interesting to me. Number one is that we tend to be people who over-spiritualize things or under-spiritualize things. So we over-spiritualize things, and then everything in the world becomes a demon. Mm-hmm. And not everything is a demon. Sometimes the things that we want to label as demons are just people being stupid. They're people being foolish. They're people being unwise. But there are some things that we want to not label as demonic, and we want to moralize them, and we want to seek moral answers to them, when actually they are demonic. Mm-hmm. There are people who, as difficult as it may be for some people to really operate in this way, to understand that there are demons. There are demons, and they do infect people, and they do try and guide and do things that are demonic and wicked and unrighteous and unjust. And sometimes what we do, and I've encountered this, where I've come across parents who have a child who is just off the rails. And they're like, well, if we could just get this boy to counseling. And I'm like, you could get that boy to counseling all you want, but I think you also better start praying for him.
Amen.
You ought to also start declaring the word of the Lord over him and into him, not in an unhealthy or abusive way, but really asking God to take total control of this situation, which is demonic. Mm-hmm. But I've run into a lot of places where people try to moralize a situation, and instead of casting out the demon, all they do is some kind of, how do we want to say it, behavior modification. Mm-hmm. You know, and really all they've done is really just conform to a pattern that's unlike what God would have them conform to. And so sometimes there are moments where demons are at work and we need to do that. But at the same token, we need to realize that there are just some moments where people are just being foolish. Mm-hmm. It's not a demon.
That's right. One thing I was going to say too, talking about a demon in that, the one thing you should bring out is prayer. Prayer to overcome mm-hmm. a demon. Mm-hmm. And I've had experience where we just get together, lay hands on the person with the demon, and pray over them, and make sure that the Lord is doing the praying with you.
Yeah.
In my experience, the demon does leave right then and there.
And the thing that I think is so clarifying that we need to talk about here, Elmer, since you brought it up, is because I've seen this done in very abusive ways. And the abusive ways is that we make the person who is being embodied by this demonic presence, we demonize them and not the thing that is in them. We want to attack the thing that is in them, and we want to value and lift up the thing that belongs to God, which is this person who has been wonderfully and beautifully made in his image, and address the evil that has embodied inside of this person, that has come inside of this person. And I think you're dead on, Elmer. In fact, I don't think you're dead on. The Bible thinks you're dead on. Mm-hmm. Because in verse 29, Jesus replies, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. That's the only way that this is going to happen. Why? Not because prayer is some kind of magic incantation, but because prayer seeks the will and the way of God. It seeks the power of God. We want to declare unto people the power of God. Mm-hmm. When we say, well, we just should send this boy to counseling. I'm not saying the counseling's bad. But sometimes what I think is when we just send them to counseling and we don't pray for them, we don't pray over them, is we think the power of man can solve a problem that only the power of God can solve.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I always say when you come to pray, make sure you're praying with Jesus.
Exactly.
That's not just me talking.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one time where somebody said, who's going to lead this prayer meeting? And one of the people said, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because sometimes you think, well, we got to have somebody lead this prayer meeting. No, we don't. Jesus is going to lead this prayer meeting, and we're going to start to pray.
Amen.
So Jesus said, you faith.
There's no extra charge for this extra tidbits of information, everyone, just so you know, listening in.
This is free. Yeah. You can make a donation to the radio station, though. A non-tax donation. Yeah. So the issue here is that they said, listen, there's this demon. And we came to your disciples and we asked them to cast the demon out, and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And then Jesus says to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Hmm. The disciples actually should have been able to cast out the demon.
Right.
But the disciples were dependent upon Jesus. That's why Jesus will say later on in the Gospels, it's better if I go. And disciples are like, Jesus, you shouldn't go. You should stay with us forever. Jesus is like, no, if I stay with you forever, you're always going to count on me to do everything. And I need you to do everything. I need you to be the hands and feet. How many times have you guys prayed about something and the answer to the prayer was you? How many times have you watched that commercial comes on TV with the starving kids and you're like, Lord, please feed those kids? And then the Lord answers that prayer, right? Because the phone number pops up on the bottom of the screen for you to call in and donate some money to help feed the kids.
That's right.
I say that to be funny, but how many times are you the answer to that prayer? Let me just ask this question. How many times have you seen somebody younger and you thought, I wish they would get themselves together. I wish they would stop acting the way that they're acting. I wish that they would pull their pants up. I wish that they would... I've got kids. I've got teenagers, so I can say all this. I wish that they would put a baggier shirt on. I wish that they would do this. I wish that they... How many of you have thought that?
Oh,
we all have.
Yeah. Did you ever think that in that moment, the answer to the prayer was you coming alongside that young person and discipling them?
Mm. Not criticizing.
Right. You coming along and gently saying, hey, you know what? I just love to get something to eat with you and spend some time with you and speak some words of affirmation, encouragement, and you don't say correction into your life, but that's also what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. As you walk alongside them, you're going to say, you know what? I saw you wearing those pants the one day, and why do you wear them down like that? I mean, you know, I don't think everybody wants to see your underwear. That's why we call it underwear, not outerwear.
Very good.
But it gives you an opportunity to do that. See, the disciples here could do what Jesus was going to do, but Jesus was there, so they counted that Jesus was going to do it. And so much, I think, of our prayer life is that we're praying to God and asking God to do things, and God is going, how about you? Why not you?
You probably experienced this, Jason. You're in the room. Well, let's have Pastor Jason pray. Hey, you know, everyone else can pray. Don't always lean on the pastor. He's not the only one that can pray.
I just came from a meeting where I met, and the woman I met with, she said, can we open in prayer? And she prayed, and I didn't say anything. And when we got done, she goes, oh, I'm sorry. You probably should have prayed. And I said, no, I am so overjoyed that you prayed. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear how you talk to God. I want to hear what you have to say to God. Your prayers spur me on to pray more.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So they brought the boy to Jesus with the evil spirit. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and fell onto the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. And Jesus, the text doesn't say this, but I have to imagine Jesus in this moment is going, why didn't you bring him sooner? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you care for this sooner? Why did you allow this thing to go on this long? Mm-hmm. Little things become big things. Where do we find ourselves in the story here? How many things have we allowed to go on until it's gotten so big that then it becomes a huge problem? Mm. It becomes throwing the boy down on the ground and convulsing rather than simply maybe some wicked words or something like that. But how many little things have we allowed to grow into big things because we didn't seek God when they were little things? We just gave it a pass. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, he says everything requires the strength of Christ. The little things, the big things, all things require Christ's strength. And he replied, since he was a little boy, the Spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can, Jesus asks. Mm. Anything is possible if a person believes. I want you to think about those who are listening and those of us here in the room right now. How many times have you prayed? And your prayers have sounded like this. If you can. If it's your will. How many of us have prayed out of wondering if God will do something rather than the promises, plans, and purposes of God that we read in Scripture? Mm-hmm. How many of us have prayed and said, God, if you're listening? Well, the Bible tells us he's listening at all times. How many times have we prayed and said, God, I don't know where you are? Well, the Bible tells us exactly where he's at. He is right here. He's at hand. Mm. He's in this moment with us. We are just the ones who have turned away. How many times have we been just like this person right here who comes to God in prayer with a kind of, if you can, if you will?
Yeah. How many times? A lot.
Yeah.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah.
Basically.
This is why I love this passage. Because Jesus says anything is possible if a person believes. And what does a person believe? That God can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. That we don't ask in small ways. We ask in big, huge ways, in small things, because we believe God can do all things. We believe that there is nothing off the table. and that God will in those moments say yes, no, or maybe. And we don't know, but we come to him boldly and confidently because we believe that God is the God of all things and can do all things. Sometimes I think that we forget that. Sometimes I think that we allow the world and everything else to kind of diminish how big we believe that we can come to God. Mm-hmm. And so one of the places, because the question is, who am I? One of the places that I think we aren't is we aren't like this man in this next moment where he says, I do believe, but Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. How many of us in our prayers to God is, Lord, there are things that I'm struggling to believe. There's ways that I'm struggling to believe in bigger ways. Will you help me to believe more? Will you help me to believe in a stronger, more robust way? Will you help me to see you in a bigger way? Because many of us, our pride gets in the way, and we think if we admit that somehow we are not good Christians. And this man right here, Jesus, loves that he says this. Because this man admits that there is room to grow, there is room to seek God, there is room to expand how he understands who God is. The Bible tells us, who can comprehend the mind of God? None of us. That means there's always room to grow. Who can understand God's ways? None of us. That means there's always room to grow. God is bigger than we can understand and we can know. I wrote down in my notes here, I said this. The centurion says, this man says, my faith is less than perfect. There are places that I don't have enough faith. There are things that are larger than my ability to believe. God, will you help me to believe more today? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we would be bold enough to pray that prayer, if we'd be bold enough to be like this man and say to God, there are still places that I need to grow. Help me to grow.
Listening friend, you've probably, like me, have identified with many of these facets of the story. Maybe you are that person that hasn't began that faith journey and doesn't realize you can go to the Lord with all your concerns, your hurts, your heartaches. Or maybe you're the father that's caring for somebody, but it's beyond you to provide all that they need. Or maybe you're argumentative and today you're feeling some healthy conviction to be cognizant of the fact that maybe you need to pause. Maybe you need to keep your remarks to yourself or be quiet or a better listener. So I pray and trust that today's edition of Mark and Friends was helpful, and we'll be praying that God uses it to help you be his ambassador, his disciple today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and some friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.